الله وبركاته. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين، يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. With Ramadan just 3 weeks or so away, it is extremely important, my beloved listeners, that we begin preparing ourselves. With the many acts of worship that we will perform in the holy month, in the blessed month of Ramadan, mashallah, we will be keeping our fasts, we will be staying away from our sins, we will be getting rid of those bad habits that we have developed, and we will try to instill some good habits within us. Along with that, we are also going to, inshallah, be extremely punctual with our salah. Today, we'd like to give some advices on how to improve the quality of our salah. It is mentioned in Hadith Sharif by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sama and man qama. Both words are there. We will use the qama for today. Man qama ramadanan imanan wa ihtisaba. Whoever stands for prayer in the holy month of Ramadan with full conviction in his Lord, he has iman, and he is hopeful in his Lord of reward, ihtisab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, indeed, the believers are successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That the believing men and women, they are successful. They are the ones that have attained success. So our success lies within salah. But also, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. There is a condition here. You must have khushu within your prayer. Today's advices are, how are we going to develop khushu within our prayer? There are 10 steps in total, inshallah. However, we may not get through all of them. We will get through as many as we can. So the following steps are some of the ways that we can develop khushu in our salah. The majority of these 10 steps will be developed outside of salah. The preparation for khushu within salah begins with our life outside of salah. The list is by no means exhaustive. Only these 10 steps will work. You may find that some of the steps resonate with you more than other people. So hold firm to these advices. How often do we wish to work on each one of these advices will depend on how much effort we put behind them. For instance, we might want to work on each one of these advices for 40 days, and then we will do the next advice for 40 days, and then we will do the third advice for 40 days. We could do it like this. However, you will find that the benefits of these will not be limited to just our salah. They will permeate our hearts and they will benefit all areas of our life. So what is the first advice? The first thing is to appreciate the importance of salah. The first step of developing khushu is to understand and appreciate the importance of salah itself. After the obligation of attesting the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawheed, there is no greater commandment in Islam than salah. Salah is the second pillar of Islam and it is the prime connection between a slave and his master. It is the first action that we will be held accountable for on the day of judgment. If it is good, we will be saved and we will succeed. And if it is not good, then we will be doomed and from amongst the losers. May Allah save us. Salah is the crucial factor that distinguishes the believers from the non-believers. By preserving our salah, we are preserving our deen and our iman. And maintaining our salah will give us a special light, a special nur within our hearts. And it will fill our face with nur, it will fill our qabr with nur, and it will fill our hearts with nur. On the day of judgment, our salah will come to rescue us and will be our special light. However, those who do not pray will find themselves with the likes of Fir'aun. We will find themselves with the likes of Qarun and Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf, the worst people of mankind. Salah is the purification of the soul. It cleans our sins and protects us from all harm. It's like our oxygen. Without it, we will die a spiritual death. And if we do not perform our salah, although we may be physically alive, we will be spiritually dead. And salah is unique because it was made compulsory upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah during the night journey, the ascension, Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. He personally received this commandment without any intermediaries from above the seven heavens. Allah called him directly to give him this gift. Even on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's deathbed, despite being weak and in agony, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never forgot his ummah. He exclaimed, "Salah, salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum." These were his parting words and his final wasiyah to us. My beloved brothers, when a slave rectifies two of his qualities, everything else will be rectified. First is his salah, and the second is his tongue. Why do we perform salah? Let's go through 16 reasons why we perform salah. First, to fulfill the purpose of our life, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, to uphold the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our salah. Third, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become closer to Him. The fourth reason why we perform salah, to humble ourselves and express our need before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth reason why we perform salah, to appreciate and show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sixth reason why we perform salah, to converse privately with the Lord of the worlds. The seventh reason why we perform salah, to separate ourselves from those that are disbelievers. The eighth reason why we perform salah, to safeguard ourselves from evil, from sins, and all forms of harm. The ninth reason why we perform salah is to purify our soul. The tenth reason why we perform salah, to earn magnificent rewards in this world and the hereafter. The 11th reason, to have our sins forgiven. The 12th reason, to renew our pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and affirm our commitment to Him. The 13th reason, to prevent our hearts from becoming hard. The 14th reason, to acquire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's happiness and love. And the 15th reason why we perform salah is to be given the opportunity to see and witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. And the last and final reason that the ulama have mentioned is to fill our lives with peace and comfort and to help us when we are stressed, worried, anxious, mentally suffering, and we are feeling down. These are the reasons why we perform our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to perform it on time. The second advice on developing khushu is to attain the ma'rifah, the recognition, the deep knowledge and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest means of attaining khushu' in salah is to attain the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness with all of His bounties. Ma'rifah refers to a deep awareness and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greater your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then the greater level of khushu' you will have in salah. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a prerequisite for worshipping Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, I only created jinn and mankind so that they worship Me. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means submitting ourselves to Him, humbling ourselves to Him, and ultimately loving Him. However, how can we love Him if we don't know Him? So who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the universe, the king of everybody, and the lord of everything. He is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. He manages the affairs of all the kingdoms. He commands and forbids. He creates and He provides. He gives life and death. He raises and lowers people. He alternates night between day and alternates victory and defeat amongst nations, and so that one nation rises and another nation falls. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and decree are carried out throughout the heavens and the earth, deep in the ocean and high in the skies, and throughout the entire universe. His knowledge encompasses all matters, accounting for each and every single being, whether they be as high in the sky, whether they are deep in the ocean, whether you knock a stone and you break it into 100 pieces, you will find an ant crawling inside there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still providing from them and enveloping them with His mercy and His wisdom. He hears all voices in their different languages with their varied requests and pleas. Whenever we call upon Him, He answers. One voice does not distract Him from hearing another, nor do the innumerable people confuse Him. The pleading of the needy people and the beggars knocking at His door does not aggravate Him and agitate Him, nor do their questions annoy Him. He sees all things, the visible and the invisible. He sees the black ant crawling across the solid black rock in a pitch dark night. No matters are hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor are secrets withheld from Him. He has knowledge of everything that has occurred and everything that will occur. Everybody in the heavens and everything in the earth beseech Him and request Him for their needs. Every single day, He attends to His makhluq. He attends to His creation. He forgives sins. He eases difficulties. He relieves people's stress. He fixes the broken. He enriches the poor. He teaches the ignorant. He guides the astray. He directs the confused. And He helps the desperate. He frees the captives. He feeds the hungry. He clothes the naked. And He cures the sick. He accepts the tawbah and the repentance of the one who repents, and He rewards the one who does good. He aids the oppressed, and He humbles the tyrant. He conceals the faults of everybody, and He calms people that have fear. He does not sleep, nor does sleep befit Him. The deeds of the night ascend to Him before those of the day, and the deeds of the day before those of the night. Light is His veil, were He to lift it, the splendor of His face would burn all of His creation as far as His gaze reaches. What He possesses is not diminished by what He gives, for His right hand always remains full. On the day of judgment, the whole earth will be enclosed in a single grip of His hand, and all the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. Then He will shake them and say, I am the King, I am the King. I was the one who created the world out of nothing, and I will return it to exactly how it was. No sin is too great for Him to forgive. No request is too great for Him to fulfill. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're all in His heaven and we're all in His earth from the beginning to the end. of his creation, mankind and jinn alike, were to be as pious as the most pious amongst them, this would not increase Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power over us in the slightest. And if they all, from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, mankind and jinn, were all to be as sinful as the most sinful from amongst them, this would not decrease his power or his might in the slightest. If all those in the heavens and all those in the earth, human beings and jinn, living and dead, were to assemble in one place and ask him, and he gave each one of them what they asked for, this would not decrease what Allah has by even an atom's weight. He is the first before whom there was nothing, the last after whom there is nothing. He is the most high and there is nothing above him, the most near and the most closer to him. He is the most beloved, he is the most blessed and exalted, he is the most worthy of being worshipped and being remembered, he is the most deserving to be thanked and to be praised, and he is the most compassionate of kings, the most generous of those who are asked, and the most forgiving of those who have power, and the most just of those who take revenge. He, with his knowledge comes wisdom, with his might, his forgiveness, and with his withholding is a lot of wisdom. He is the king who has no partner. He is unique and he has no rival. The perfect master who has no companion or child. He is the independent who has no helper. There is none like him. Everything will perish except him. Every kingdom will fall except his kingdom. Every grace has a limit except his. No one obeys him except by his permission. And nobody commits a sin except that he has been given that power. Nobody can do this. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obeyed, he appreciates it. When he is disobeyed, he overlooks and he forgives. His anger is always just. Every punishment from him is just. And every blessing from him is a favor. He is the closest witness and the nearest protector. He records the deeds and sets down the appointed time for all things. And when he intends to do something, he only says, be, and it becomes. So what should the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a beautiful creator of ours, what should us, when we recognize him, what should it lead to? It should lead to a deep awareness and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will make us shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will increase our love for him and it will attach our heart to him. We will be left in awe of him and we will always long to finally meet him. You will repeatedly turn to him broken in repentance and you will hastily run away from the creation to enjoy being secluded and talking to him. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, what does one know if one does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What truth has he recognized if this truth has eluded him? What knowledge has one gained and what action has one obtained if he has failed to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If he has failed to act on his pleasure and he has failed to know the path to him and he has failed to know what is in store for him once he reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Striving to attain the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a continuous effort and it is not a single struggle that you try once and then you achieve it. It is a continuous lifelong journey that will only end when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is in a state that he is pleased with us, inshallah. There is no life and no peace for the hearts unless they become deeply aware of their creator. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this. So how can we get this? How can we attain the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Firstly, we can attain the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through tadabbur, through reflecting and pondering over the ayat, over the verses of the noble Qur'an, which tell us to do tadabbur and to ponder over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, through tafakkur, reflecting on the numerous ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that surround us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will show them our signs in the horizon within themselves until it becomes clear to them that this is the truth. The Quranic ayat continuously remind us of the many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are not exhaustive, but includes the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the rain, the animals, the mountains, and the human being himself. So some tips for tafakkur. Firstly, we should perform our morning and evening adhkar daily, especially on the days when the skies are clear and you can appreciate the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. This will help us to combine our dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the tafakkur together. Secondly, a tip for tafakkur is to try and grow our own fruits and vegetables. You will feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you witness His power from creating such a beautiful fruit from such a small seed. Thirdly, explore nature and marvel at nature's beauty and all that surrounds us. And fourth, take your family on a hike or to visit a local farm to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures His creation. And the final tip for tafakkur is, or how to attain the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is through His blessed names. This is only possible through a deep understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's excellent names, their majesty and their perfection, and realizing that He is the only one to whom these names belong. Hafiz ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he writes, the key to the da'wah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the essence of their message is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names, through His sifat, through His attributes and through His actions. This is the foundation which with the rest of the message from the beginning to the end is based upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to Allah alone belong the most beautiful names, so call on Him by them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah has 99 names, whoever preserves them will enter paradise. So how can we preserve the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Firstly, by memorizing them, understanding their meanings, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using His beautiful names, and then acting upon what they necessitate. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names is Ar-Raqib, which means the ever watchful. So you can act upon this name by abstaining from sins, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over us all the time. Another way of developing ma'rifah, and we will end here for today, is by worshipping Him as much as possible. Ma'rifah itself is one of the greatest forms of worship. Other acts of worship, including dhikr, dua, reciting the Qur'an and salah, will increase our ma'rifah. It is a cycle. The more we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will gain more ma'rifah of Him. And then the more we worship Him, the more we will know Him. Performing salah with khushu is one of the greatest means of attaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ma'rifah. So in summary, my beloved brothers, we will increase our knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best possible way to finally achieve khushu in our salah. Once we get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His signs, through His names, through His Quran, and through worshipping Him, our awe and veneration and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. Your own self-importance will meanwhile decrease. You will think, I am such a merely small servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of that pride that we have within ourselves will be thrown out of the window. Both of these will help our body and our heart to humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and allow us to taste the sweetness of khushu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly give me the ability to act upon these advices, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to begin performing our salah daily, being punctual with it, so that insha'Allah we can take maximum benefit from the holy and blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to reach the blessed month of Ramadan.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا